Does cooking feel like a drudge? Just know that it is possible to change. And today I'm sharing a conversation from one of my joyful cooking students who went from feeling no joy at all and like cooking was a drudge, cooking for her family of five. So listen on to find out Jen's story and the surprising things she discovered along the way. Welcome to Joyful Eating. I'm your host, Jules Clancy, a former food scientist and winemaker turned cookbook author and health coach. I've discovered a simple way to have a joyful relationship with food without sacrificing pleasure or my waistline, and I can help you get there too. Listen on to find out how. Okay, so welcome to Joyful Eating number 150. So today we're going to be talking about the joy and confidence of knowing you can feed yourself well. So really, it's all about Jen's story. But before we get to that, the best bite I had just the other day, it was like random work day lunch. And so I was just rummaging in the fridge and I'd had some leftover shaved cabbage salad and another leftovers like shaved zucchini salad. So I just chunks up those in the bowl. And I also had some leftover poached eggs. So put them in the bowl and sprinkled over one of my favorite flavor bombs. So it's this crispy chili oil. It's a Chinese ingredient and it's like it's a little bit hot, but not crazy hot. And it has these like little bits of chili flakes in and garlic in the oil. And so you drizzle on the oil and you drizzle on the crispy bits and you just chow down on the crispy bits. And it like I had some sesame seeds with it. It was just incredible. So yeah, definitely like next time you're going shopping, get yourself some crispy chili oil from the supermarket. It's so good. Okay, so without further ado, actually, let's just get into the conversation that I have with Jen. Welcome, Jen. Thanks so much for agreeing to have a chat about your experience in joyful cooking. So first, I just wanted to understand, like before you started joyful cooking, like what was your situation? What was your like relationship with cooking like?
Oh, before joyful cooking, I've been cooking since I was very young and enjoy food, love making food for other people. But recently, in the last maybe 10 years, life with work and raising five children has just gotten to be very stressful. A lot of other stresses in my life. And I lost kind of my enjoyment of cooking and any sense of creativity or it just became very much a drudge, just something I had to do to get us fed. And in the midst of everything else, maybe a lower priority than what I had enjoyed in the past.
Yeah, right. So you had a history of like where cooking had been okay, had been kind of fun, but then it just with five children, oh my goodness, like of course. Yeah, right. And so why did you want to work with me? Like why did you want to join Joyful Cooking?
Well, I have been following your work, Jules, for I think it's been 17 years since I first started getting your blog post to my email inbox and looking at five ingredients or less. Now we're, you know, six ingredients or less. I remember because Isaac, who I had take the class with me, is 17. And so it was when he was born that I was enjoying learning from you. But I also, at that point, I didn't think it was possible to really cook so simply and deliciously. Like I had this idea that it's always the more effort, the more work, the better the results will be. And the harder it is, you know, the more exciting the outcome. And so after listening to your podcasts for several months, some on repeat, and just really being willing to begin to believe that it was possible to have joy in cooking again. And then Isaac was looking for some extracurricular activities. We homeschool. And I said, what about taking a cooking class together? Wouldn't that be fun? And he got really excited about that. He loves food and loves to cook. And I thought, this would be the space where both of us could benefit. He could start his cooking life, you know, as a young adult with joy, and I could recapture or gain some joy in cooking as well. Because I had trust in you and the testimonies that I'd heard in your other podcasts. But yeah, I thought it was the right time, the right space.
Yeah, amazing. And it's like how great, like something that you could do together as well. So like that you're going to like have the shared experience. Yeah, amazing. And so like, did you have like, what was your biggest concern or worry before we started with Joyful Cooking, Jen?
I think I really doubted that I could be joyful again. I really thought, I'm not sure that this is possible for me. I could hope it for my son. I could hope that we would enjoy the space together, but in the midst of all of the other responsibilities of my life, I thought, well, I'll do my best. You know, I'll try and show up and do the work, and maybe I'll get a passing grade. You know, I think about taking a class in the traditional mindset, you know, performing to get the grade, or, you know, to pass the class. And that, well, I can pass at least, but I don't know if it'll be a great experience, mainly because I doubted my capacity. I just didn't know if it was possible for me to feel joy in that space.
So yeah, like you just weren't sure if that was something that was even available to you anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, Jen. Wow. Yeah, right. But you're kind of willing to try it anyway, because I guess you weren't going to be any worse off.
Yeah, and I think it's easier for me to think about other people's benefit, right, than to take care of myself. I think being a mom of many boys, and I work in a nonprofit where I provide support to a lot of people, and I really find myself at the bottom of the list often. And so it was interesting that when Isaac said yes, I felt like, okay, I can do this with him and for him. And I couldn't do it for myself before we started.
Oh, isn't that interesting that you wouldn't? So if Isaac wasn't interested, then you probably wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, yeah, I probably would have passed.
And what's been your favorite part about doing the work in Joyful Cooking?
Well, the first thing that popped into my head was the tasting exercises.
Yes.
And I realized how much I enjoy a good science experiment, if you will, like just trying things out and seeing what will happen. And part of that, I think, is being a mom of boys. Boys are always thinking, what will happen if, and doing crazy things, right, as a result of that mindset. But I realized that's a childlike approach that brought back my childhood love of learning and growing. And so doing the tasting and engaging with the different flavors and talking with Isaac and hearing the other people in the class, their input about the different types of things that we tasted and which appealed to them more. And I really found that space of curiosity helping diminish the level of criticism that I kind of felt for myself in my cooking, and inviting that openness to trying new things, just even in trying the 6 different, you know, the control and 5 other choices for that particular tasting, really sparked curiosity.
You see, wow, and isn't that fascinating that your critical brain like turned itself down, like, and that you noticed that? That's amazing, Jen.
Yeah,
super. So great. Yeah. And so apart from like being able to turn your critical voice down and like go like approach it with more curiosity, like what do you think the biggest transformation is that you've had from being in Joyful Cooking?
I would have thought when I started that I was going to come out on the other side just being better at producing food for people and for myself, and just better cooking, better results in the kitchen. And I was actually very much surprised as I was reflecting on what's different in me now, that it's really more about my thinking than my cooking, which I'm pretty sure you told us would be really part of the process, right? That wasn't a surprise for how you shared what was possible in the class, right? But it was really true for me, and I was surprised by that. So my thinking leading to different feelings about cooking, like really being able to engage wonder and delight, and even embracing moments where there's a plot twist that doesn't go quite as I had hoped, as not as a failure, but as another learning opportunity. So that mindset of just exploring, instead of seeing cooking dinner now as a task or a chore, I'm feeling like it's a privilege for me to have space to really have fun. And it doesn't take too long. It's not too hard if I don't think about it that way. If I think about and label it as difficult, if I label it as too much time or too much energy or whatever it is that I feel like I'm lacking, then it becomes that. I feel that way. But just by thinking about it differently, labeling it differently, really, truly, my feelings have flowed out of those thoughts. And I'm just amazed at how much gratitude I have in that space now to really lean in and choose joy in cooking spaces.
Wow. Look at that, Jen. Like, so you actually have like learned that you're in control of how you think about cooking, and then that determines that like how you feel about it, and that you can actually, you have that ability to think in a way that's going to make you feel that joyfulness. Like, Yeah. Wow. And yeah, even like when things
still
go
blowing wrong. My mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like, I love that, Jen. I'm so glad that like that's been your experience. Like that's my hope for everyone in the whole world to experience that for cooking. So I'm glad that like you're sending it out into the world.
When I think about how that's impacted, not just when I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, but just in general, this realization that my thoughts and intentions really do impact my experience of what's happening, that I feel like I'm becoming less critical of things, less negative, and more positive about what I'm seeing. So I'm having more curiosity and looking for the opportunity in spaces that before I would have been like, oh. And maybe it's because we're coming to the other side of pandemic living, and a lot of my thinking and responsibilities during the pandemic were making hard choices and being critical of what was happening to make sure we had the best possible outcome, you know, being highly scrutinizing of what was happening and monitoring all of the rules and expectations, and really taking on that burden of critical thinking as my primary mode of operating in the world. And by taking joyful cooking, and I think maybe also turning 50 has helped a little bit this year, I've really leaned into the joyful cooking philosophy, the practicing of setting those intentions for what we're doing. And I feel like that's starting to seep into and leak into my workspace and my relationship with my young adult children, and just looking for opportunity and being more curious, and then deciding how I want to be in that space and being intentional in that decision. And so it's just really, I think, been transformative in a way that I didn't expect at all, Jules. I just really want to thank you for that.
Amazing. Well, so you came for some like, oh, okay, I might get some a little bit better cooking, but you actually, it's like seeped into all these other areas of your life as well, Jen. That's so powerful, isn't it? Like that when we change one thing, it can change so many other things as well. Just a quick break to say thank you so much for listening to Joyful Eating. I really appreciate you. And also, like when you introduce something valuable to someone, they associate that value with you. So if you'd like goodwill directly from another food lover, then tell them about this podcast. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now let's get back to the show. Is there anything else that surprised you about joyful cooking?
I think I was surprised by how wonderful community is in the space that you created for the group. So learning from others, not just in the live classes, you know, hearing their questions and their input, but on the Circle platform and seeing people discover things for themselves, just continually gave me permission to be in the exploring, curious, open mindset, right? Just to not limit myself to just knowing how to salt things better or to cook things faster or, you know, have a simpler approach to cooking so that I had more time in my life. But really developing the community mindset of learning from people all around the world, which was such a gift, right? To be connected in such a broad group of people in different spaces and geography, but also walks of life, age ranges, just that diversity and community space really surprised me, and how much I delighted in that and look forward to being a part of the live calls. Like when I missed them, I felt very sad. Like I'd missed out on a gathering of friends, and that really surprised me, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Cause I guess you were just coming to learn, like you're just doing cooking classes with your son, but to actually have that feeling of connection and with other people from around the world, like, yeah. So good. Oh, I'm surprised at that too. That's great. Yeah, I love the community aspect. It's really, really fun. And what about we haven't spoken a lot about the actual changes in your cooking, Jen. Have there been many, you're feeling differently about it, but the actual like food that you're eating, do you feel like there's been?
Yeah, no, there's absolutely been changes. When I, even just for example, this morning before I got out of bed, I was thinking about dinner tonight, and I wasn't stressed about it. I didn't have a plan ahead of time, but I thought, okay, what do I have and what sounds good and what can I do with that? And so I've made a plan to take the broccoli and the leftovers from last night and create a new dish that I know will taste good because I can add some acid. I can add some creaminess. I can add a flavor bomb. I can really make it tasty. And I just smiled and said, great, this is going to be a great day. So the planning piece. And then I was really surprised at how open my children have been to trying different flavors and different combinations, which has even spurred me on more to try new things outside of my comfort zone. I think I'm a very traditional kind of personality, right? Like I like to have things consistent and stay the same. And without a nudge or an invitation, I don't try new things very easily or very quickly. So thinking about cooking differently, it was so helpful for me to have the list of different ideas for flavor bombs or sauces or combinations of flavors to really just to push my thoughts about what was possible, you know, what could work together and to try them. And then to have my husband and my sons all really excited about trying the new things made me realize that I could be a little more creative in this space and everyone would benefit. So yeah, my cooking has gotten simpler. I think in terms of the concepts of the muscle memory meals, and I don't worry about all of the extras that maybe if I had looked up a recipe online or had consulted one of my favorite cookbooks, I don't have to think about every single ingredient and making sure I've shopped and have everything on hand and done an inventory. I know that if I look at a concept or a recipe idea and I don't have something specific to the list, that I can substitute or I can leave it out or I'm free to make that change. So I would say overall, my cooking is simpler and better, like tastier, more satisfying learning those concepts.
Yeah, it's part of my evil plan. It's like, yeah, like, and that's, isn't that like amazing that we can do that? Like we can like actually cook more simply, like with less ingredients. But when we're being intentional about what we're bringing to the food, it can be more delicious and more creative. And yeah, like, and it just without the effort, like so good, Jen, so good. And I love that it sounds like it's helped with your meal planning as well, because you've got that confidence now of, oh yeah, and I know like I'll be able to pull something together.
Yeah, definitely confidence and really reduced stress for me. So I don't know if you remember, Jules, during the class, I took on a second job.
Yeah, really. I do. Yeah.
And so my schedule changed. I started, instead of having like a 10-minute walk work, I have an hour and 15-minute commute each way twice a week for this other job that I've taken. And I got really stressed out about how I was going to feed myself and feed my family with less time on those days. And then I just started opening the fridge and just saying, what's available here? And so I feel like I had a very restricted mindset. Like, I had to follow a very specific meal plan in order to be successful, or I had to plan ahead and put a lot of effort and energy into planning ahead. And I still, you know, plan some, but I'm not nearly as stressed about it because I know when I open the fridge, I can say, oh, here's my base, here's my protein, here's my sauce, and here's one of my favorite flavor bombs, and it's an abundance bowl, and it's delicious, and it quickly goes into my lunch bag to go in the car with me without the same kind of worry, I think, that I had before, if I was going to be okay, like just really reduce my stress. When I started practicing the muscle memory meal habit in the space of the new job, and I saw that it was really working, and I was so satisfied with those meals. And I think that just really, really surprised me. Like, this really goes together, this simplicity and satisfaction really go together. And I could feel proud of myself and celebrate that. Like, it wasn't just a tiny win. It was a huge win for me. Yeah. To just feel nourished and satisfied, and things were delicious. And my fellow employees were noticing. They're like, wow, that looked really good. What are you eating? Where did you get that recipe? Where did you find that? I'm like, I just made it up today. And they're like, what? You know, I'm like, yeah, I just took what I had on hand and put it together, you know, with this template in my head, you know, this idea, this concept that this is going to work. And so that idea that, you know, that the best cooks are the ones having the most fun, that
yeah,
the cooking philosophy, I just found myself having a lot of fun in a space where I anticipated so much stress. So thank you so much for that. I'm just so grateful. The timing was perfect, really, for me to be in the class, and it was just what I needed.
Oh, I love that, Jen. And isn't that like so beautiful that you were having a really, like, you're going through that transition, which can be so stressful, and that actually, like, you got the right lessons and you had the right tools to be able to like not only just like get through it, but to sounds like to thrive through it. So yeah. Wow, Jen, that's so great. So great. Oh, great. Well, yeah, just before we wrap up, Jen, who would you recommend, like now that you've been through Joyful Cooking and you know you can see what's possible and you can see how, like, even though you didn't think you could change, you did, like, who would you recommend Joyful Cooking to?
So I've already shared my experience with many people that I, you know, I'm around, but I was thinking about, you know, who do I know that would really, truly benefit? And I think it's anybody who would like to find a better way to nourish themselves. They're not satisfied with how things are working right now, and they're open and willing to trying on a new mindset with cooking. And even if, like me, you know, resistant to the idea or maybe hesitant to believe that it could work, just exploring, is there a better way? I thought, you know, with, is it a good fit for my personality? Will it fit with my learning style? Like all of these ways that I was trying to be, I think, critical in my thinking and in a positive way, like just evaluating, is this worth my time? Is this worth the financial investment? Is this, you know, worth blocking out the space to try on the home play? Is it going to be worth it? And even in my critical mindset, I realized now that this gift that you give in inviting people into the Joyful Cooking process, that it really can work for any personality, any cooking skill set, because it is the mindset piece that's made the most difference for me. And that's a choice. So anybody who's willing to try a better way and make the choice to be curious and to lean in, I think would find that there's so much that you have to offer. Probably not at all the same things that I glean from it, but whatever it is that they need in the moment, in their season of life, I think they would find a space. I think, Jules, especially anyone who's curious about being coached, you know, the group coaching. I had never been in a coaching setting before. I've taken lots of classes, right? So lots of lecture and lots of prescriptive teaching. And the coaching model that you use is just so affirming of each person right where they're at. So anybody who wants to try a better way, right from where they're at, whatever seat they're sitting in, whatever season they're in, whatever their current relationship with cooking or food or their body, just trying it on and being curious, I think they'd have a fabulous experience.
Yeah, right. So just anyone who wants to change, I think, like, that's what we need. That's what I think. Like, if someone just has that desire that they're not really satisfied with how things are in the kitchen for them, if they have that desire to change, that's all they need, and then I can do the rest.
Yeah.
Amazing. Oh, thank you so much, Jen. I really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat and share your experience. It's been really great.
Okay. Oh, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
So if you want to be like Jen and actually feeling joy and confidence in the kitchen, then I invite you to join my Joyful Cooking Challenge. So it's a 21-day challenge, and we're going to be starting Feb 2024. Applications are going to be open at the end of January. So if that sounds something that you'd like to do, definitely get yourself on the wait list. So just go to thestonesoup.com and click on the challenge page, because it is going to be limited. I'm going to only have 50 people in the group because I want to keep it intimate. And we're going to be having, at different times, we're going to be doing live cook-alongs over Zoom. So it's not going to be just me teaching you stuff. We're actually going to be cooking it together in the kitchen, which I think is something I've never done before. I think it's going to be super fun and also super effective. So if you're a beginner cook and you just want to build that confidence, like, this is totally for you. And if you're a recipe cook and you want to like get more confidence to be able to like wing it and to be able to cook without recipes sometimes, then again, this is for you. And if you're a more experienced cook but you'd have the tendency to overcomplicate things, then this challenge is really going to help you simplify and just bring back that joy, like make it feel easier and give you more time when you are in the kitchen. So if any of that sounds good, definitely get on the wait list. I would love to have you as part of my 21-day cooking confidence challenge. Okay, have a beautiful week, and I will catch you next week. Bye.
Before you go, this is the best part.
So if you enjoyed Joyful Eating, subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. And I'd love to send you a copy of my free recipe app, Stone Soup 6 Ingredients 20 Minutes. It's full of hundreds of easy whole food recipes, so delicious, they'll satisfy even the biggest food snob. It's the perfect little resource to have right on your phone for those inevitable times when you're in the supermarket thinking, wow, what am I doing for dinner? It's available for both iOS and Android, and I add new recipes every week, so it's a really great resource to get for free. See the link in the show notes, or if you just Google Stone Soup and click on the free recipe app page, that'll give you the details of how to grab your free copy.